Well, get saved, Dan. What was I saying? Today, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 again. Last week, I think we read through verse 19. But before we go on, I'd like to just kind of maybe the last two or three verses that we read, because it's a precursor to what we're about to talk about when we go forward. So we'll do that, and then if Brother Oscar would read in the Amplified the 20th to the 28th. Yeah, through the 28th, okay? Because I don't want to get it into the next verse yet. So how about, who would like to open in a word of prayer?
I'll do it.
Mike.
Lord, thank you for another opportunity today, Father, to gather and to listen to your word and to learn about your word. And Lord, you know, just help us to understand what we're talking about today and just let it flow through us, each and every one of us. And Father, we just want to give you all the praise and glory. Amen.
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 Praise God.
Okay. I'm going to read the two or three verses before the one you're going to start on. Okay, I'm going to start with verse 16. This will just be foundational for what Oscar's going to read. For if the dead rise not, this is from the King James,
right,
then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. And then verse 18. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Remember that these all start with if.
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 That's right.
If in this life we only have hope in Christ, and Christ is not raised, we are of all men most miserable. Okay, but now, and that's the first two words in verse 20. Let me get my Strong's on here. I just want to say those first two words before. But now, I love looking at the little words.
Right.
I love it. But means adversely,
correct.
But on the other hand, you know, okay, but now is Christ risen? Or now, that's not a question. But now, Christ is not Christ risen. Now, hang on one sec, I'm sorry. I got so excited. But now is Christ risen. And that word now means now, at this very moment. Those little words get me so excited. I love it. At this very moment. And what is a moment? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You know? Oh, that's good stuff. Okay, so now let's have Oscar start on with the next.
You want me to go from 20 to 28, you said?
I think so.
All right. This is out of the Amplified Bible. It said, but the fact is Christ the Messiah has been raised from the dead, and he became the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep in death. For since it was through a man death came into the world, it is also through a man that resurrection of the dead has come. For just as because their union of the nature of Adam, all people die, so also by virtue of their union of nature shall all in Christ be made alive. But each in his own rank and turn, Christ, who is Christ the Messiah, who is the first fruits, then those who are Christ's own will be resurrected at his coming. After the coming, after that comes to an end, the completion, when he has delivered over the kingdom of God, the Father, after rendering inoperative and abolishing every other rule and every authority and power, for Christ must be king and reign until he has put all enemies, his enemies, under his feet. The last enemy to be subdued and abolished is death. For he, the Father, has put all things in subjection under Christ's feet. But when it says all things were put in subjection under him, it is evident that he himself is accepted who does the subjecting of all things to him. However, when everything is subjected to him, then the Son, I think I'm in verse 28 now. Mm-hmm. However, when everything is subjected to him, then the Son himself will also subject himself to the Father to put all things under him, so that God may be all in all, be everything to everyone supreme, the indwelling and controlling factor of life. Okay. Very powerful there.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
I got excited just reading it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got to verse 28, my mind wandered to John 17, where it says, the Son also himself will be subject unto him that put all things under him. So that's the Father and the Son. But it also says in John 17, Father, the authority that you gave to me, I'm giving to them.
Yeah.
And then grant me the authority that I have you, Father, before
the world was.
Before the world was.
Right.
But I don't remember it all perfectly, but I get the gist of it.
Yeah.
And who was he before the world was?
Well, he was God.
He was the Father.
He was.
He was the fullness of God. So he was complete in the Father. Then.
So if the Son can also himself be subject unto him and put all things under him, where is that Son?
Yeah.
All, because he says, the glory that you've given to me,
yeah,
I've given it to them.
Right.
So, okay, so we will just go ahead and you guys all jump right in. Anything you're thinking of?
Can I say something?
Sure.
You know, a lot of people, you talk to some different people, Jehovah Witnesses and different people like that, and they have a problem with realizing that Jesus is God.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But when you realize that he came, with his Father's name, he said he came in his Father's name, but he actually came with his Father's name. The Jews wanted to stone Jesus because he basically was telling them he was a son of God, And they said, you being a man have made yourself the son of God. And he said, well, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And they knew exactly what that meant in the Old Testament. Because when God appeared unto Abraham, when he went up on the mountain, when he appeared to Moses, and when Moses went up on the mountain, and God told him to go back to set his people free, basically. And he said, who shall I say sent me? And he said, tell them I am that I am has sent you. So he was telling them right there who he was. And when he said, your father Abraham saw my day, when Abraham took Isaac up on the mountain to sacrifice him in the Old Testament, and when he got him up there, I don't believe Isaac was a little boy like a lot of people try to say, because the father had piled a bunch of wood on top of him to carry the wood up, and you don't pile a bunch of wood on top of a little boy. And when they got to the top of the mountain, he said, Father, we've got the wood, we got the fire. He said, where's the sacrifice? And the profound thing that Abraham said, he said, God will supply himself himself a sacrifice. And literally was saying God will supply himself as the sacrifice. And he laid Isaac on the altar, and then he took the knife and was going to kill him. You know why he was going to kill him? Because God had promised him that his seed would be like the stars in the heaven, like the sands on the seashore. And he knew that if he killed him, God could raise him up. You know, so he was going to kill him. And then God told him, stay your hand. Don't stab him, you know, basically what he said. And he said, then there was a ram caught in the thicket, you know, and they took the ram and they sacrificed it. But he said, Abraham saw my day, and he was glad when he was talking to the Jews, Jesus. And he saw his day because he got to see how the Father was going to sacrifice the Son for the sins of the whole world. He saw that in Abraham. And, you know, also when you think about it, they have a problem with Jesus being God. You know, a lot of religions out there have a problem with that. But God came in the form of a man so that mankind could believe that man could be in the form of God. Because as many as, it says in the Gospel of John, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You know, and who were born not of will of flesh or will of blood, but basically born of the Spirit, you know, is what it amounted out to. And when you come to realize that, you know, Jesus, he told his disciples different times, these works that I do, it's the Father doing these works in me, you know. And then when you come to realize too that when I think it was Thomas that said to him, he said, show us the Father and it'll be sufficient, you know, after Jesus prayed his high priestly prayer. And he said to him, he said, have I been with you so long and you never knew me? And he said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Right.
And what he was really saying, when you realize the Spirit that's within me and what I'm doing, this is the Father, you know. And then after Jesus was crucified and he had appeared to the disciples walking along the road of Emmaus, then he appeared to them in a room, then I believe it was Thomas was missing. And he came and he said, they told him that, you know, Jesus had appeared to him and stuff in the room. And he said, well, unless I stick my finger in the nail prints in his hands and thrust my hand in his side where he'd been stabbed with a spear, he said, I won't believe. And almost instantly, it wasn't long, Jesus appeared in the room. And he said to Thomas, he said, stick your finger here. Put it in the hole. He stuck his finger in it. Then he said, thrust your hand in my side. And after he did that, I love Thomas's reply.
Yeah.
He said, my Lord and my God. He knew who Jesus was then. He knew that he was both Lord and God. He knew that. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus said, Thomas, you've believed because you've done what you did.
Right.
He said, but blessed are they that believe and haven't seen.
Right.
You know. And you know, when you come to realize that the glory that he gave to us is the glory as being a son of God. The glory he went back to heaven to become the Father again. There's different names in the Old Testament for God in different places. El Elyon, El Shaddai, Eloah, you know, all these different names. And what it is, it's different. Be quiet a minute. I don't want to take over your class there. But those different, he appeared as those different names, if you study it out, what those names were, because it was different aspects of his personality, God's personality. When he appeared as El Shaddai literally was the large-breasted one, the love nature of God. When you, that's who Abraham had an encounter with El Shaddai. God Almighty. Anytime you see the word God Almighty in the Old Testament, it's El Shaddai is who that is in Hebrew. And you know, that was the love nature of God. And whenever you had an encounter with El Shaddai, your name got changed. Your nature got changed. Name is synonymous with nature. Your nature got changed. And it got changed from the Adamic nature to a Christian nature, is really what happened, see. And, you know, but when you come to realize that what he's saying here, a lot of this stuff he's saying, you know, Jesus had to appear as a man so that they could believe that they, as a man, could be a son of God, because they would have never been able to believe that, you know. Now, there was people who got up and proclaimed that they were God, who were men, you know, but they didn't really know God. They made that proclamation on their own. And you have to be born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God for that change to take place in your life. And it says up in Ephesians that you've been adopted into the very family circle. And that word for adopted up there is a word that in Greek means placing as a son. You've been placed as a son. And you know, when my son comes in here, guess what his name is? His last name, which is how you really identify who he is. His last name's the same as mine. And I got news for you. When you had received Jesus Christ, you had a name changed too. That's why Christ in you is the hope of glory, the Messiah or whatever. That nature of God came into your life. Okay, I just preached you a little sermon here, but I didn't mean to do that. But anyway, that's what was taking place there, you know.
Well, any time that you do that, you stir up the juices of the nature of God is,
yeah,
and
right.
Just, you know, it really helps you to be able to hear the Word of God and take
right.
it.
And see, it's all through the whole Bible. It goes all the way back, you know, Psalm 82, if you read it sometime. He says, in the King James, he said, I have said you are gods,
mm-hmm.
and sons of the Most High. He said, but you die like men. You die like Adam. And that's when he said, I've said you are gods, talking about man, mm-hmm. it's the word Elohim. That's another name for God, Elohim. And it got all down through there, every place where it mentions the word God, even at the end when it says, how long will you let the earth be out of course, O Elohim? You know, oh God, is what it's saying. And, you know, Elohim or God, and when it talks about, and you think it's talking about God, it is talking about God, but it's talking about, you know, it's like my son is a bowling. That's my last name.
Mm-hmm.
He's a bowling. He's always going to be a bowling. All of his sons are bowlings, you know, because they've taken the family name, you know. And hopefully they take the nature of their daddy, because he's a good man. I pray, you know. Mark's a good man. I think he's a very good man. But in the that's in the natural. But in the spirit, that's why we are being changed all the time. God's gradually changing us into that very image of his son. You know.
And why did he do that?
Why did he do that?
Why did God? Jesus, the same. Why did he do that?
Why did he do what? Part of it. Why did he come in the form of a man?
Yeah.
He came in the form of a man so that you could begin to believe that you could be in the form of God. You know, when God said in Genesis, he said, if you read back in Genesis, when he went in the first chapter of Genesis, it says when God said, let us make man in our own image and our own likeness and let him have dominion. The word for God back there is the Hebrew word Elohim.
Mm-hmm.
Elohim said this.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the natures of God. Elohim said, let us make man in our own image and our own likeness. Now, God has never changed from that. But man doesn't believe that he's in the image and the likeness of God. When you look in the mirror, do you look in there and say, I see you in there, God? Do you ever do that?
No.
That's because you don't believe that yet. But when you believe that you've been born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God.
I have been born again.
Well, you have. All right, you have. What were you born of? What was you born of when you were born again?
I was born me.
No, you were born of God.
Yes.
You were born of God, see. You had a natural birth. Your mother and your father birthed you in the natural, okay? But when you decided to get baptized and you said, you told me afterwards, you know, I talked to you about being baptized for a long time, you know, you was a little shaky on it, but you decided to do it. But you told me that you felt a big change in your life. And that's because you were born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Now, what you became when you were born again, you became a son or daughter of God, but you're just a baby. You were just a baby when you were born, spiritually wise. You didn't know, you've been growing. You've been growing in the grace and the knowledge of God, see? And it's a gradual thing, you're growing up. That's like it says in Ephesians 4th chapter, I don't mean to be taking up this whole class. Ephesians the 4th chapter where it talks about keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace till we come to the unity of the faith, till we come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know what the measure, the stature, the fullness of something is? That very thing. That's what it is. It's the same as that very thing. You know, I've went in sporting goods stores, and they have, sometimes they'll have them make them lifelike
figurines.
It'll be a piece of paper, and they'll have Shaq in there. Shaq was a really good basketball player. But he's a huge man. I mean, he is a monster size man. He's 7 foot something tall, and he's a big muscular guy and all this. I can walk up to him.
I gave you one.
And I'm not the measure of the stature of Shaq. I'm way shorter than him. I hit him about here somewhere, you know. But what it is you're being changed. You're growing up. Now, I'll never grow up into Shaq, but hopefully I'm growing up into Jesus.
Right.
You know. See, I know that you've had a problem with the Trinity. You know, people talk about the Trinity. Now, here's the way I explain the Trinity, and I've explained it to these guys before. And Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All right. When I go and talk to my son Mark, okay, he's my son. Okay. But also, I'm his father. Still me. When my mother calls me on the phone, which she's went on to be with the Lord, but when she used to call me on the phone and talk to me, guess who I became? The son. So it's three aspects of God's nature: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, it's all God, because the scripture tells you in the Old Testament there's one God, just one. Okay? But what the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is of, they're aspects of God's personality, who he is. Okay, now when you take Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and you put them all into one, that's the fullness of God. That's all there is, you know. And what he's doing in us, that's why when he prayed his high priestly prayer, and I don't mean to preach a whole sermon on this, but that's why when he prayed his high priestly prayer, he said, Father, I pray that they might be what?
One.
What do you mean by that? One. Because there's only one God. He said, you and me, you and Jesus, okay, God and Jesus, and me and them, that they might be one. Well, that's why we have to start believing that we're in Christ. In him we live and move and have our being. See? Not only Christ in you, but we also in him. We have to believe we're in him. He's in us. And when we really truly believe that, we start becoming truly one with God. See, and I mean, it's really simple, But it's so simple that the wise and the prudent out there don't see it. They don't understand it, you know. People will fight you over the Trinity because it's three different gods, like the way they talk. Well, you know, it's not. It's all gods, one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, that's why Jesus could say, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father, you know.
Yes.
Why? Because the Spirit of God is Spirit. And when he said at one point, no man has seen God at any time. He was talking about the Spirit of God. But what he did, he came to reveal God. He came that people could say they had seen him after that.
So who am I going to see when I get up there?
You're gonna see somebody that looks just like you when you look in the mirror.
No, I mean God.
You mean God or Jesus?
God, yeah.
Am I gonna see Jesus or I'm gonna see God?
There's no difference. It's all one thing. Jesus was God.
Okay, who's he gonna pretend to be?
Huh?
Who's he going to pretend?
He's not going to pretend to be nobody. Just like I told you, I'm sitting in here. My mother walks in the door and she says, what are you up to, son? I say, well, we're sitting here talking. If my son walks in the door and he says, what are you up to, dad? I say, we're sitting here talking. You know, it's still me. It's all me. It's all God, see? When you come to understand that, you won't wrestle with that so much. Jesus was God incarnate in the flesh. In the Gospel of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, the Word of God. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God, see? And then it goes on and it says, all things were made by him and for him, and without him was not anything made. And then it goes ahead and it tells you, and he came unto his own, but his own received him not. He came in the flesh. Jesus was the fullness of God in the flesh. But he came for a reason. He came to redeem mankind. He came to be the Lamb of God, the true sacrifice for all of your sins, so that you could be cleansed from all your sins, and you are, for the sins of the whole world, he did that. They just don't know it yet. They haven't recognized it. Part of our ministry is to help them recognize that he died for their sins. They've been forgiven. They just don't know they've been forgiven.
Well, I believe in God.
Well, then you believe Jesus, because he is God. Who did you confess when you got saved?
God.
You didn't confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior? There's no other name given amongst men whereby you must be saved than the name of Jesus.
Does it make a difference?
Yeah. When you said God, you said, I trust God. You're trusting Jesus, because that's who God is. He's Jesus.
That's very confusing.
Yes.
Well, it's confusing because for years you heard the other thing, and it wasn't right. You've heard, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three different things. They're not three different things. It's all one. It's just God.
What? But I don't see why he did that.
Well, you ask him when you get up here, okay? And he'll tell you.
Ask him today.
Well, see, that's why.
I've asked him a million times.
That's why you need to study the scriptures a little bit. You know, and anything that we tell you or anything that you hear, go look in your Bible and see if what we're telling you is true.
I do that. I asked my son, what do you mean by this? And he said, read your Bible. I said, I'm wanting you to tell me what it is.
Well, but see, there's a difference when somebody tells you and you read it for yourself too.
Yes.
There's a little difference there, you know. I mean, I could tell you that it's okay to go through a red light. You go through a red light, you're going to be in big trouble if you believe me. But if you know the law and you know that a red light means stop, and a yellow light means caution, and a green light means go, then if I tell you a red light's okay to run through, then you're going to say, no, that ain't the law. That ain't what the word declares. Well, you need to ask God to give you understanding. He will give it to you.
Can I throw something in here?
Sure.
People, as human beings, all of us, are subjective to this thing called time. Mm. We've been subjected to it. Not of our set meal. We're not too nuts about it either, because it confuses us. And that is the difference between when Jesus died on the cross and he said, it is finished. It's finished. But for human beings, there's also a processing of our faith to work into this, mm-hmm. to the knowledge, the comprehension, to our identity. And so there, and this is just me talking. I'm just, this is the way I feel about it. Mm-hmm. It is finished. We still have to walk by faith and not by sight. Mm-hmm. So what you see in the Word, speak it. What you hear in the Lord, declare it. Walk by the spiritual level that Christ has imparted to us, and not by the physical time limitation of what am I going to do tomorrow, where am I going to get my food, blah, 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 blah. Put these things away, because it is finished. When you were a child, you thought as a child, but when you become a man, you put away the things.
I'll tell you another example of that. Michelangelo, he did a sculpture of David, supposedly, what he pictured David as looking like in the Old Testament. And they asked Michelangelo, well, how did you sculpt this sculpture? He said, well, I chipped away everything that didn't look like David. That's what God's doing in your life. He will chip away when you might not feel like you're finished. You might feel like you're a big block of marble or whatever. But when God looks at you, he sees you as the finished product. He sees you as a full-grown child of God. Now, to get you to see it yourself, he's going to chip away and get things out of your life and change you and change your attitudes and everything else until you see it for yourself. Scripture says we look in a glass darkly, but there's going to come a time when we look face to face. And Scripture says when we see him as he is, what does it say? See, you don't know what it says because you've got to study to know that. But it says when we see him as he is, we'll be just like him. Just like him.
Well, that's where...
Well, just like Jesus. They're the same one.
Well, that's where our faith comes in, when he said, it is finished. Mm-hmm. Your human nature says, okay, I hear that, but until I see it, is it real?
Yeah.
That's where your faith has to come in.
Right.
And you have to rely on that to believe.
Like I said, with Michelangelo, he looked at that big block of marble there, and when he looked at it, he saw David. Mm-hmm. Why? Because in his mind, he knew what he was going to create.
Yeah.
It was finished.
It was already finished in his mind when he looked at it. Mm-hmm. Even though he hadn't put a chisel to it or anything else, he knew exactly what he was going to make, because he was a superb artist. God is a superb artist. He knows exactly what you're going to look like.
I can see Clive
as you grow up in him.
I wanted to know if I could read 20 through 23 out of the J.B. Phillips.
Sure.
Because I think this points out, it said, but the glorious fact is that Christ was raised from the dead. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He has become the very first to raise from mm-hmm. all who sleep the sleep of death. As death entered the world through a man, so his rising from the dead came to us through a man. As members of the sinful race, all men died. As members of Christ, all men shall be raised to life.
Wait a minute, just a minute. How many men?
All.
How many men?
All.
Remember that word all.
Right.
All men.
What's now, all?
Listen.
All. There's no part, little bit, few.
Well,
it's
I
all.
Think why we don't all see it is because of the next line. It says, each in his proper order.
Right.
Amen.
It says, with Christ the very first, and after him, all who belong to him when he comes. The whole thing there is, of course, everything's by faith. And we must accept God's word by faith. You could hear me in my bedroom at night praying. And I say almost exactly the same prayer when I begin. God the Father, I do this. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But I've experienced all three aspects of that. And I said, God in you, God in me. And when I say you, I'm in the world. That's what he meant. And I say, in me. And then I say, let them all be one in spirit. Because that's what we need, to be one in spirit. That means one in, actually, when we go through opportunities, God changed the way I looked at trials a long time ago. I don't call them trials. I call them opportunities. They're opportunities that we would live a life that is pleasing to God, just like Jesus did. He had a lot of opportunities. He could have told somebody, well, you know, I don't like this, I don't like that. But the Father wouldn't let him. Why? Because he did everything to please the Father. So we're changing to the aspect that when we become that which God wants us to be, and we should try to do that every day by just honoring him, honoring his presence. I mean, the Bible says a lot of things. People think that it can't happen. In Thessalonians, it talks about praying without ceasing. It talks about this, this, and this. But it also says try the spirits to see whether they're of God. And it said hold fast to that which is good. Sometimes we let go just before it's God's about ready to do something in it. I mean, it's too hard to hold on to the things that try you. But is it too hard to hold on to the things that you have an opportunity to show his goodness in? I mean, we look at, Oscar quoted it, we look through a glass darkly. But when we see Jesus, some of that darkness should fall from our eyes. Because we're looking at him who created heaven and earth. You know, we think it's a big thing that it says you plant a seed. Well, it says, my Bible tells us that some planteth, some watereth. But he gives the increase. God's the only one who can give the increase. I got one tomato plant at home, one. And I've taken off about 40 little tomatoes, the little real small ones. My wife said that. She said, that kind of looks lonely. I said, but look at the fruit it's bared. Mm-hmm. See? Some one person might say, well, they look like, you know, they're just alone. But I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ was alone. Mm-hmm. I say to you this day, he bared a lot of fruit, multiplies of fruit. I read yesterday in a thing that says, because of the stars and the sand it compares, I read that the scientists say in our universe, there's already more stars than there are sand on the earth. See?
And in other universes out there. Yeah.
He said, we can't grab that. Why can't we grab it? I said, we can't grab it, first of all, because we don't believe it. I mean, that's how we have a hard time with the word. Well, God's word be true, all men be alive. All men. That's why we should be willing to step up. Now, I'm using that like a baseball term. Step up to the plate and take your swings, because here comes the pitch. Get ready to do whatever he wants you to do. Sometimes, and I'm going to still stay with baseball, sometimes a batter needs to take a pitch that's going to hit him. You still get first base, whether you hit the ball or not. The whole thing is, you have an opportunity to do what you've been put on this earth to do and not take it for granted. But you're supposed to reach out and touch that which he wants you to touch. You know, I'm talking too much now myself, but the whole thing comes down to this. Christ has said, the glorious fact is that Christ was raised from the dead.
Yes.
We should never forget that. That's the foundation of our faith.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. We should never forget that. We should never take it for granted. And his blood that was shed on Calvary redeemed the world. And how about, I'll stop by saying this. For while we were all sinners, yet in sin, Christ died for us. And he didn't do it begrudgingly. He did it to honor his Father, which he was set forth on this earth to do. Why did he come as a man? So we could see the Father as the man. So why did he say, I'm going to leave you, but I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And then what did he say about that? He said, when that Holy Spirit comes upon you, he shall lead you into all truth. I go ahead.
See, he had to go away
right
before the Holy Spirit came, because as long as he was standing there,
right,
you would never believe
they'd never believe the Holy Spirit
inside of you, because he had the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So he had to go out of sight for you to believe that it's in you, you know, and that was why, you know, when they were in the upper room, you know, the Spirit of God came in as a mighty rushing wind. Well, the Spirit of God is like the wind. You know, you can say, well, I've never seen the wind. You don't see the wind. You see what the wind does. It blows the trees. It blows the dirt in your eyes. It does all the things that it does. But you don't actually see the wind.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way God is. God is invisible. You don't see God. But when Jesus came, he came in the flesh to reveal him,
mm-hmm.
so that people could actually see God in a man. And that's exactly what he was. But the neat thing is what you was reading before about, you know, the glory. He said, the glory that you've given to me, Father, mm-hmm. and what was that glory? Being the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Right.
That was the glory. He said, the glory that you've given to me, guess what? I've given it to them. Now glorify me with the glory I have with you before the world was. What was the glory before the world was? He was the Father.
Yeah.
He was in the fullness of the Father. You know.
Well, let me just read this, because it's in the same vein. This is from the Passion Bible, John 17. And then, because he uses the exact same words here that you just said. He says, Father, I have manifested who you really are.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly the words you use.
Mm-hmm.
And I have revealed you to the men and women that mm-hmm. you gave them. They were yours, and you gave them to me.
Mm-hmm.
And they have fastened your word firmly in their hearts. And now at last, they know that everything I have is a gift from you.
That's good. But Ed, the question that you have, you've had this question for a long time because you've brought it up a lot of different times. You need to pray and ask God to give you the understanding of whatever you need to understand. He's the only one who can give you understanding. We could explain it to you 36 times, but until he reveals that to you, you're not going to necessarily receive it. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, it's...
yeah, but he never come to me.
Well, maybe that's because do you believe he wants to come to you? He does come to you. He came to you when we baptized you out there. Didn't you? You changed from being kind of argumentative and stuff to being very, very sweet. And what's Mike call you when he comes in here? What's he call you? Sunshine. You didn't used to be sunshine. When you first started coming here, you weren't sunshine. But let me tell you what, God gradually changes his sis.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, you know, you're reaching for some things yet that he hasn't revealed to you. When it's your time, he'll reveal them. I mean, we can explain until we're purple in the face, but until God touches down inside of you and you realize that's what it is. You know, it has to be a self-revelation. Anything that God really teaches you, he has to reveal it to you from the inside.
Well,
and when he does that, nobody can take it away from you. I don't care what it is.
I've said a lot of times that I grew up in the church, and I knew of God, but I didn't know God.
There's a difference, yeah.
And there is a difference.
A big difference.
A big difference. And once I got saved and I started to realize what happened and what's going on in my life, I got to know God better.
Yeah.
And I try and do that, improve on that every day. And that's what you have to do. And there are still plenty of things that I'm just like you, Etta. I go, why? What's you know, what's the answer? And the only way to do that is what Oscar said, is you have to say, Lord, just help me to understand what I'm trying to find out here.
Well, and he'll let you know what you need to know when you need to know it. You know what I mean?
Do you have something to share too?
Right. What I should add is the fact that I should feel thirsty of knowing God and understanding God, that shows that God is already in her, because anybody who doesn't have a God in themselves, we never want a God, because only somebody who has the Spirit of God, we want to know God and we want to have more God. So you already have a God in you. Because anybody who has a God in themselves never feel like they are full of him. They want him more. They just want to know God more.
Fantastic.
That's just a sign that God is inside your heart.
Mm.
But in order to have him more, you probably gonna have to read the Bible and pray more, and God will grow inside you. I also would like to mention Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 8. I know it's a long passage, but what I was going to say is in Corinthians, where we wrote, like, I think it was 15:27, says that then everything will be put in God. Seems like Jesus will be there no more, because it seems like everything will be under God, which was, just like you mentioned, originally Jesus was not there. Because in the Roman, the Bible says that Jesus was called begotten because He was raised from the dead. He was not a son of God before the resurrection. God called him the son of God because he was raised from the dead. That's one of the things the Bible says in Romans 1, that Jesus was called the son of God by the resurrection from the dead. But before that, he was God appearing to people, or he was in a form that we probably don't know exactly. I don't know if I can read Romans chapter 1, verse 4. So just to put that out there, because I remember a few years ago, I got a Jehovah Witness person telling me that Jesus was not God, and he was like, he's the son of God. And I was like, how did he become the son of God? We have to understand, because he did not become the son of God when he was born from Mary. The Bible says that he became the son of God, Romans 1, chapter 4, and he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So, from where the Bible says Jesus did not become the Son of God because he got born just 2,000 years ago from Mary, because as you said, he said, if you seen me, you seen the Father. Mm-hmm. And in Hebrews, it says that he's the express image of God.
That's right.
So, I just wanted to mention that and to put hope in her. Only somebody who has God, we want more God. We want to know more. And I pray that she will know God more. Thank you.
I want God like he's got.
I was going to tell you, the fastest way, the fastest way to know God is to open this book.
Exactly.
And I'm going to tell you to go to the Gospels. The fastest way is to read that word.
Yes.
To know that what is written, he wants to reveal to you in here.
Exactly.
That you can come out and live it. Without looking at his word, you're like walking in the darkness with no light.
Exactly.
Now he's already the light in you, and you have the hunger.
Yes.
And that hunger will be fed as you read that word.
Exactly.
And matter of fact, you read it, the more you read it, the more he'll multiply that.
That's right.
And don't be surprised if you get hungry for that more than you do food. Because this you'll hunger no more for. You'll read it and you'll keep on getting it.
Yes.
And you'll get so much life out of it, you'll hardly pay attention to this life that we're in right here.
Exactly.
Because he that cometh to the Lord must come first by the Spirit. You're drawn to him. And that's already happened with you. You've already been drawn to him. You've already been baptized in his name. You've already had these things. But I'll tell you what, you can't get enough of the word. When I've seen people come to church and I watch, they're different.
Yes.
I watch. And then I'm talking about a couple that came down Brother Eddie's street preaching down in Elmwood. They went and sat in the front row. I go, all right. And then the more he talked on God's word, the more they were going like this to each other. They were getting excited.
Yeah.
They were getting excited because, first of all, God was speaking. They had ears to hear what the Spirit would say. And they were on the edge of their seat. I kept on watching them. They kept on moving. They were on the edge of the seat. They wanted to run up there and eat everything that he was taking.
Right, right.
And that's what happens. Well, God will teach us, lead us into all truth by his Spirit through his word. He wants us, and we can do this, but we got to do it according to his word and do it in faith. He wants us to put off the old man. The old man's had his way long enough. Mm-hmm. It's time that he's a new man rising. That new man is Jesus Christ rising within you.
Yeah.
And the more it rises within you, the more you go like it. You're walking around with a smile on your face.
Yes.
And people are going like this. I got to see what that smile's about. Mm-hmm. They're wanting to come up to you and they're wanting to talk to you. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, this is no lie. This might be why Jim tells you to read the Bible. Because you can read Jim, all right? And you know your son, all right? You can read him. But reading him is not going to help you with the word.
He has to walk in his revelation.
Right. That's
you
right.
Have to walk in the revelation that God gives you individually. You know, I will say this. Here's what I would suggest for you to do. I would suggest if you do sit down and read the Bible, pray and say, Lord, before you start reading, pray and say, Lord, you teach me. You lead me, you guide me. And you read it, and maybe you won't feel like you got nothing. But I'll tell you what, his word never returns void. And I'll tell you this, when I got saved, that's exactly what I did. I spent a lot of time just sitting before the Lord, and I'd read something, and I didn't necessarily know what all that meant. But I'd say, Lord, you got to teach me, you got to guide me. Holy Spirit was sent to lead and guide you in all truth. He loves it when you tell him that. You teach me, you lead me, you guide me. He loves that. That's what he wants to do.
Exactly.
And when you tell him that, then let me tell you what. I went to work and I had some guys come around, heard I got saved. I wasn't going around telling everybody I got saved. They just heard I got saved, and I don't know how they heard, because I wasn't telling everybody. But they come around, and they started trying to talk to me about different denominations. Oh, watch out for the Pentecostals. Oh, watch out for the Baptists. Oh, you know, and all this kind of stuff, rather than saying, brother, I'm glad you got saved. Praise the Lord, I heard you got saved. Wonderful. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, instead of saying that kind of stuff, it was all about their denominations and stuff. And this one guy was talking to me one time, and I said, buddy, I don't know about what you're saying there. I said, but I sort of feel like this, and I started telling him some stuff, and he says, that's in the book of James. Well, I hadn't read the book of James yet, but I tell you what, the Spirit of God that dwelled inside of me, he inspired the book of James. So God can bring something up out of you that you don't even know is there.
Exactly.
If you just trust him and just tell him, Lord, I don't understand this right now.
Right.
I believe when it's time for me to understand it, if it's ever time for me to understand it, you'll show it to me. And just relax in it and let it go. Yeah. You don't have to know everything. I've said 100 times, I'd gladly trade what I know for what I don't know. Because there's a lot that I don't know. But I really wouldn't do that, because God has shown me a lot of things. But you know, there's a lot of things that he hasn't shown me yet, and a lot of things that I could learn if he shows them to me. But he'll show it to you when it's time for you to know it. You know, something that you don't understand, just tell the Lord, I don't understand this.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's your will, show it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Let me understand it. And if he doesn't give it to you right then, it's because you're not in a position where he can reveal it to you.
You gotta remember this, Hedda. You said before, I want to be God like he had. I went, no, you don't. Because what you have to remember is your walk with God is your walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
And only your walk with God.
Right.
It's nobody else's. And your walk with God is different than mine. It's different than Oscar's. It's different than everybody in this room. Because it's an individual relationship with the Lord.
Well, first of all, I need a new Bible, because when I open it to something, it's not in I hear.
I see what you're saying. No problem. That's a done deal. You'll have one before you leave today.
No.
I got a whole room full of them. I'll get you one today.
Mike, would you help us close in a word of prayer? It's time to...
Lord, Lord, Lord.
Take the cup, Jack.
Thank you, Father. Just thank you. Lord, just let us walk our own walk with mm-hmm. you. And Lord, just teach us each and every day as we walk with you. I know I'm so overjoyed that I have you in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just so happy that you put me in a position to be with other people who want you in their life just like I do. So Father, thank you for what I learned today. Father, keep teaching me every day. Help me to understand the things that I need to understand, and teach me later what I don't. So I give you all the praise. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.